house of God.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in. 91.5 today's Modern Worship. WMIE, say it with me, WMIE. And if you are listening at 10:30 in the morning, it's WWBC 1510 AM. If you're listening at 5 o'clock, you're on WMIE. You might also be listening online. However you are listening, we are thankful that you have chosen today intentionally to tune into the Refresh Radio broadcast. Now, I will tell you this. Early on in the program, when we first started on the air, there was a guy who was driving down the road and was tuning in, listening at 5 o'clock of an afternoon, was driving through Brevard County, just looking for a Christian radio station. He ended up calling the church. I happened to be in the office that day. He was an evangelist, and believe it or not, he did not know who I was, did not know who I was married to, but it turns out that he and my wife went to Bible college together a long, long time ago in a land far, far away. And it was like, are you kidding me? so if you're just driving through, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God on Merritt Island, right in the central part of Brevard County. And we love Jesus and we love people and we want as many people as we can communicate with to hear about the amazing love that God has for them and how they can experience God's love and walk in faithful obedience to his word. So I want to ask you, if you do not have a church home, if you're in the central part of Brevard County, to maybe come and check out our services. This next week is a great opportunity to come to church in a non-threatening way. Now, we have our after service, we have our fifth Sunday potluck dinner. It happens once a quarter, and this time it is a Mexican food themed potluck dinner. It's going to be off the charts because we have some amazing, amazing cooks, and we are really excited about that. Mexican food is my favorite type of food. I could eat it three meals a day, 7 days a week. I've eaten so much Mexican food in my life that my DNA is probably altered. It is just my favorite food group. And since I'm the one that picked the theme to this potluck dinner, that's what it is. But if the great thing about our potluck dinners is you get to fellowship and hang out with people, you get to meet people, and it's just a great time of getting together. And so that will be this Sunday after the morning service. If you don't have food to bring, that is perfectly okay. There is going to be plenty of food that is there. So that is coming up this coming Sunday morning, April the 29th, right after the morning service. I want to take you today back to Matthew chapter 3. I'm not going to read as much as I did yesterday. I'll begin reading in verse number 11, Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, and then we'll go through the end of the chapter. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So yesterday we had talked about his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. We had talked about the winnowing process. That was the process that was used to separate the chaff from the wheat. And we also talked about how in a couple of passages in Proverbs that it was a process that a king was to utilize, not in his agrarian pursuits, but in winnowing out the evil from his advisors, from his administration. You know, it's not just whoever wants to serve around you. It is who God has placed there. And I believe that we need to be placing a higher value in our society upon godliness, upon character, and not be focusing quite as much on the giftedness, the charisma, and things of that nature. I'm not saying that we are supposed to be people of character and be boring. That's not what I'm saying at all. You know, when I first got into the ministry, my voice was very monotone, and all I did was hold on to the pulpit on both sides so that if case I fell over, I would have the pulpit to counterbalance me so that I wouldn't fall over. I would have something to catch myself with, but my voice was very much monotone, much like this. Even when I got excited, that's not the way that I normally talked. I was a different personality when I was in the pulpit than I was, and it was a less than entertaining personality. It was a less than captivating personality. So I'm not saying that we have character without personality. I'm saying that we don't put celebrity above character. We do not put charisma above character. We don't put personality and fame above that. We say, look, in my kingdom, there's going to be truth. There's going to be integrity. There's going to be godliness, and the wicked are going to go by the wayside. You know, nobody really likes to talk about that very much anymore, but the reality is, in the first century church, there was only one church in town. And so if there was a person with a sin issue in their life or a personality issue, there was in that first century church, there was a great desire to work out those issues. There was motivation for reconciliation. Where else are you going to go when you're the only church in town and all of you are marked as social outcasts? Now, if there's a sin issue, people say, well, I literally had a person tell me this one time, and that is, look, I was here before you are. You need to be the one that goes. But I wasn't the one that was operating in an ungodly manner. Sin and longevity do not outweigh authority and godliness. That's just not the way that it works. And so that situation, it was a painful situation to go to, but God spoke to me about that process and told me what I could expect as a result of that. And that was that whenever chaff is removed, you can find that you are more valuable. It says that not only would there be a separation between the chaff and the wheat, but here it says that they also have two different destinations. They were both gathered to the threshing floor. They both were operated by the winnowing fan, but when the wind blew, the chaff was separated from the grain, and it would blow over in one direction, and the grain would stay in the basket in the winnowing fan that they were operating with. And so they would gather the grain away to where it could be processed, it could be broken down into breads and things like that. But it said that the chaff was going to be burned. It became a fuel source. So even in John's ministry, he is letting people know, look, you want to be part of the grain. You want to be part of the nutritious. You want to be part of that that has substance and merit. You want to be part of that which is holy. And, you know, a person who is really good, who serves with excellence, the Bible talks about that they're going to serve before kings. You want to be people who develop your skill set as well as your personality, as well as your character. You want to develop all of that because you want to serve well. There's a book that I have in my library. It's about a church marketing. It's a church marketing book is what it's called. I don't know exactly the title, but that's the subject matter. And the guy who writes this book said that his first job was cleaning toilets. But he decided that he did not just want to be the person that gave a quick swipe and a quick twirl around the bowl with the brush, but instead he would go in to the bathroom and he would look at things from the perspective of a visitor, someone who wasn't in that. He would look to see if there were things that hadn't been cleaned by other people to make sure that the bathrooms that he cleaned were the most clean of any of the bathrooms around there. And what happens when you operate with that mindset, not just in an arena of your life, but in every arena in your life, is pretty soon that you're going to find that you are going to serve in more and more important positions. A lot of people, especially in this generation that come up, they think that when they come out of college because of their entitlement culture that they have been raised in, that when they come out of college, they ought to start off as the CEO. Well, there's very few people that start as a CEO. I started as an intern. From there, I ended up being a youth pastor, where I worked 70 hours a week. I brought home $86 and some change. And then I ended up going, and I was a part-time ministry and taught in a Christian school. I made $125. But you know what? During those times, I was still in the learning process. Even though I had a 4-year degree, I was perfectly trained theologically. But there was a lot of practical things that I didn't know. And so don't ever get to that place where your learning stops. If your learning stops, then you've reached your ceiling. And nobody wants to have reached their ceiling. And so last week I spent some time, and I was like, God, I just want to spend some time worshiping you. I want to spend some time reading your word. I want to operate out of an abundance, not out of a deficit. There's a separation that is coming that's talked about here. And it's not between the productive and the unproductive. It has become it's between the redeemed and the unredeemed. People who are saying, God, would you change me so that I am being more like you? And people who say, God, I don't want to change me. I want to change you. Ooh, I've never said that before. That's good. Romans chapter 12 says that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Let me turn over there for you so that I can read that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He transforms us by changing the way that we think. And so I don't know about you, but I would much rather be something that is valued because I am beneficial rather than being something that is worthless and you're just looking for a way of disposing of it. Okay? So that's where we're going to drop the winnowing and the chaff and the wheat. But there is a time of separation. Matthew talks about a separation of the nations, the people groups that are the sheep and the goats. And it had to do with those nations that were taking care of people who had needs, that were ministering even to the social outcast. And so I want Merit Assembly of God to be one of those groups that ministers to those who are have been marginalized by society. Let's look at verse number 22. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. I don't know if you've ever had God ask you to do something that you didn't understand, but sometimes it will happen. Sometimes it's not due to a lack of understanding a protocol on our part. Sometimes we just don't realize what God is doing in the process. And John fully recognized when Jesus showed up that day who he was. In the Gospel of John, I believe it is, it says that, behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world is one of the things that is said about Jesus very close to this time frame. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of the living God. And so he knew that he was perfect, and he knew that John wasn't. And that's why John said, look, if somebody needs to be baptized, I need to be baptized by you. Like I mentioned on an earlier broadcast, let's never forget the humility aspect. Let's never forget what our life would be like without God. Let's never forget that he is the Ancient of Days. And we are, according to Scripture, we're just like a vapor. One day we're here, one day we're gone. I mean, we're just passing through this world. And God knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Okay? So, John says, I'm not baptizing you. I need to be baptized by you. And Jesus said this, I need you to do this. Permit it to be so. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus did not come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill every aspect of the law because he knew that I couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, and we couldn't do it. There's an interesting passage of Scripture. It's all the way back in the Old Testament. If you turn back to Joshua chapter 24, when you hear that, you're going to automatically know the verse that is quoted from that passage, because it is so popular. It's the verse that is very familiar is verse number 15. Let me begin reading at verse number 14. This is Joshua and his final instructions to the children of Israel in the Promised Land. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Here's the part everybody remembers. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Everybody talks about that. It is great. You know, Joshua says, I don't know how many days I've got left, but I'm going to use them to serve the Lord. My house is going to serve the Lord. If you don't want to serve the Lord, then go back and you worship the gods that we've already defeated. That's he says, if serving the God who has brought you this far seems evil, then go back and serve the gods that were defeated that got you here. The gods of Egypt, the gods of the Amorites. And verse number 16, the people responded. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Okay? Every preacher is looking for that level of commitment. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the congregation says, look, we're right there with you. We have decided we are going to serve the Lord as well. Okay? At that point in time, every preacher would say, hallelujah. Let's call it a day and let's go eat fried chicken. That's not what Joshua said. Verse number 19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So I just want to point out to you that when Joshua was told by the people, we're going to serve the Lord too, he said this, you can't do it. You aren't equipped to do it. And no matter how adamant they were, it didn't change the reality. Peter was very confident that he would never deny the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said, you're not going to deny me once. You're not going to deny me twice. You're going to deny me three times. And it's not even going to take until late morning for you to deny me three different times. The Bible says that if we are guilty of violating one area of the law, we're guilty of all of the law. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The truth of the matter was that if we missed the mark, if we violated the covenant, we were guilty of violating the covenant, and the cost of violating the covenant with God was death. And Jesus came to fulfill all of that. John recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus instructed John, I need you to permit me to do this because I'm here to fulfill all righteous. If you were to look at a gold coin, it would not say 100% gold. If you were to look at a silver coin, it won't say 100% pure gold. If you look at a bar of Dove soap, I believe it is, it doesn't say that it is 100% pure. In each of those cases, it will say 99.9% pure. In a gold sense or a silver sense, it might have 0.9999999. It's going to leave just a small percentage of the fact that there are some impurities there. Not so with Jesus. Not so with Jesus. And I will tell you this. When Joshua said that God is a holy God, he meant he is 100% holy. That means he doesn't have any evil inside of him. He has no evil intent inside of him. If you choose to reject him, it grieves and breaks the heart of God. When I do, it grieves and breaks the heart of God. When it says that he is jealous, he is a jealous God, it does not mean jealousy in the same sense that we think of jealousy. We get jealous because of the actions of someone else are depriving us of something that we want in our life. You know, the Greeks, they created supernatural beings with the same fallacies, the same sins, the same carnal nature as mankind. That's not God. We did not create God in our image. He created us in his image. God is a jealous God for us because he knows that sin deprives us of something that he wants us to have in our life. He realizes that it is for our best interest for him to be made holy. There are some people who reject God simply because the scripture says he's a jealous God. They don't understand that he's jealous for us, not because he's jealous of us. God's got everything the world has to offer because he created it all. Now, back to Matthew chapter 3. John baptized Jesus. When he was baptized, it said the heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I am here to tell you that you will never receive a greater compliment in all the world than the Heavenly Father pronouncing throughout heaven, "That's my child. I love them." And I don't know about you, but I want to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. I told my dad one time, I said, it didn't take me long to realize that I didn't want to upset you. And I won't get into the rest of the conversation, but it's true. I never wanted to be displeasing to my parents or dishonoring to my parents. I never wanted to be a heartbreak to them. But I can also tell you this. I want to please God. I want to hear him say to me and to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Today, if you will repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you the right to be a child of the living God. And that's a great privilege. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."